Maseches Klein, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Gimel, until Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vov. In the previous two Mishnayos, we saw two different arrangements of planting species by a vineyard. The first one was a Karachas HaKerem, which is a vineyard where the middle vines in that vineyard were destroyed. So you've only got left vines growing on either side of the vineyard, or on three or four of the sides, at least two of the sides though. And we said that you can only plant there if there's a significant field, or two significant fields, other than the four amos, which anyway need to be left away from a vineyard. The second arrangement was Mechol HaKerem, which is when you plant in between a fence and a vineyard. Again, so that it doesn't look like it's being planted as part of the vineyard, there needs to be one significant field, other than the four amos, which you leave as a distance from the vineyard itself. However, we're going to see in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says that the case between a fence and a vineyard, Ein Ze Ela Gedar HaKerem. This is only what is called the fence of a vineyard, meaning that the case you described as Mechol HaKerem is not actually the case of Mechol HaKerem. Meaning there's a case which we know is called Mechol HaKerem, and we know that in the case of Mechol HaKerem, a distance of 12 amos has to be left, or has to be there, so that you can plant there. But that's not the case you described. In a case where there's a fence next to a vineyard, you don't need to leave 12 amos there. The only distance you need to leave there is 4 amos, and then any leftover space there, you could plant right next to the fence, as long as you don't go within the 4 amos of the vineyard. Rather, the Ezo Mechol HaKerem, what is the case of Mechol HaKerem? Bein Shnei HaKeremim, it's between two vineyards. Now this sounds very similar to Karachas HaKerem. The difference is as follows. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Karachas HaKerem is specifically where there was originally a vineyard planted, and then the vines in the middle got destroyed, or they were removed, uprooted. But the remaining vines are clearly part of the same vineyard. They're just on different sides, and they're distanced from each other. But because it's all literally in the middle of one vineyard, a larger distance of 16 amos, at least according to Beis Hillel, needs to be left. On the other hand, the case of Mechol HaKerem, according to Yehuda, is also where there are vines on either side. However, these vines were always part of different vineyards. And as well as that, they're not aligned, so it's clear that they're part of different vineyards. For example, let's say the vines on one side were planted in rows going in one direction, and the other vines, which are a bit of a distance away, so those were planted in rows of a different direction. So it's clear that these were anyway always two different vines, so when you're planting in between them, it's not quite as if you're planting in the middle of a vineyard, and therefore less of a distance needs to be left, only 12 amos, and that, according to Yehuda, is the case of Mechol HaKerem. Now, while we're on the topic, asks the Mishnah, Ezo Goder, what is considered a fence, halachically, with regards to Kelayim? The case of Geder HaKerem, which is Mechol HaKerem according to the first opinion of the previous Mishnah. We mentioned a fence there, and also a fence we've had earlier on in the Masech, though we said that a fence is considered a separation in between two species. But what is considered a halachic fence? How big does it have to be? So the answer is, Shogavei Asar Tfachim, it has to be at least 10 Tfachim high. And while we're on the topic of this, we're going to get a bit sidetracked as well. And v'choritz, what is considered a ditch, which is also a separation in between two species? The answer is, shu omek ha'sora v'rochav arba'a. It's got to be at least 10 tfochim deep and 4 tfochim wide, and then it will be considered a separation, as we saw earlier on in the Masechta. Mishnah Dalet, so now we're going to go back to the fence and show that even if it's not actually a fence, and there are lots of gaps in between different parts of the fence, it might still be considered a halachic fence, such that it would be a separation in between two species. And here we come to a concept known as lovud. Lovud is something which is halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. We've got a tradition going back to Moshe at Har Sinai, that anything which is distanced less than 3 tefachim from something else is considered connected to it. Meaning that a gap which is less than 3 tefachim wide is not really considered a gap. We view it as if the gap is filled up. And because of that, if somebody has mechitzas akonim, he has a partition, he has some sort of fence, which is made up of reeds, he's using them like poles. If there isn't between one pole and the other one, one reed and the next one, 3 tfochim, which is the space which a goat would be able to get through, then it is considered a partition, it is considered a good separator, and halachically it would be considered a full fence, and even where the gaps are, we view that as if it's part of the fence, as if it's filled up. Okay, scenario number two, v'godosh nifrats, a fence which was breached, it got a hole in. So let's say there's a long fence going across the field, and one area, there's a gap. Am I still allowed to plant next to that gap? So the Mishnah says that eser amos, if the gap is up to 10 amos wide, so any gap which is 10 amos or less, harihu kepesach, it's considered like an entrance. It's sort of like a door even. So it's considered like part of the wall. It's not like the wall ends and then starts again later. This is all part of the wall, this is just an entranceway to get from one part of the field to the next one. But Yossi McCain, if the gap there is more than 10 amos wide, so that no longer looks like an entranceway, and therefore Kenegada Piritsa Osir, opposite this area which is broken through, it's forbidden to plant another species. So meaning you would have to you'd have to distance the two species, because this is not considered a separator. If it is considered a proper separation, so you don't even need to distance 4 amos or 6 tefachim, whatever it may be. But if it's no longer considered a separation there, because there's a gap, so you'll need to distance it the requisite distance, which we've seen already, either 6 tefachim, a base reva, 4 amos, and only then would you be able to plant two species. Now the third scenario is nifritzu bei parotzis harbe. If lots of holes were made in the wall, and let's say each break itself is less than 10 amos wide, so each break is considered an entranceway and you can plant there, but because there are so many, the halacha is slightly different. If the amount of wall which is standing and is not broken is more than the amount which is not there, so there's more fence than not fence, then mutter, it's permitted, and we view each of the gaps as entranceways, so it's part of the wall. But for ima parts meruba ala oimid, if the total length of all the parts which are broken through is more than the total length of that which is actually still physically standing, then you can no longer view that as entrances, because there's so many of them, and it makes up the majority of the wall. So we view them as actually not part of the wall, and therefore right next to there, Kenegada Piritsa Osir, opposite that area which is broken through, it's forbidden to plant, because there's no longer a separation there, so you'd only be able to plant the two species if you leave enough of a distance, depending on what the species are. Mishnah Hey, as we have seen, the distance which needs to be left between an individual vine, or a few individual vines, and another species is 6 tefachim. On the other hand, the distance which needs to be left from an actual vineyard and another species is 4 amos, a larger distance. The question is, what is considered a vineyard? So according to the first opinion, Beis Shammai, Hanetea Shur Shol Chomish Kefonim, when you plant one row of 5 vines, Beis Shammai Imim Kerem, Beis Shammai say that is considered a vineyard. And you'll have to leave a distance of 4 amos from there and another species. Even though all the vines are in one row, since there are 5 of them, that's considered significant enough to be considered a vineyard. However, Beis Hillel agree that 5 vines are the minimum to become a vineyard. However, they hold that there has to be at least 2 rows. If all 5 vines are in one row, then we view that as just a collection of individual vines, but not yet a significant vineyard. So Beis Hillel say, Ein kerem, it's not considered a kerem, adshe yehu shom shtei shorais, until unless there are there 2 rows, and again the minimum number of vines would also be 5 vines. We'll see in the next Mishnah how exactly that would be formatted according to Beis Hillel, but 5 vines altogether, as long as they're in 2 rows, would be considered a vineyard. Now, unlike regular kelayim, kelei kerem is forbidden to benefit from. So anytime one species is mixed in a vineyard, it's forbidden to benefit from that mixture, from that kelayim. And the word which the Torah uses when saying it's forbidden to benefit from it is tikdash, from the word kedusha. And one of the meanings of Kedusha is that it's separate, and in this context it means it cannot be used, it cannot be benefited from, once it has been planted as Kelayim. So Hazareya Ab Amos Shabak Kerem, when you plant within 4 Amos of a vineyard, which is obviously forbidden, so the vineyard becomes forbidden to benefit from. However, if you've got, imagine you had 100 vines there, in the vineyard, not all 100 of them become forbidden to benefit from. It's only the first bit which is considered a vineyard. So according to Beis Shammai, the first row already is considered a vineyard. So that's the bit which will become forbidden to benefit from. Beis Shammai say, Kidei Shura Achas, he is now forbidden one row from benefit. He's made one row Osur Bahana'ah, which means it's forbidden to benefit from that one row. However, Beis Hillel say, that one row is not considered a vineyard, and the Torah says that a vineyard becomes Osur Bahana'ah. So the minimum to be a vineyard is 2 rows, and therefore Kidei Shtei Shorais, he has now made 2 rows Osur Bahana'ah, and it doesn't matter how many vines are in that row. Meaning if, let's say, there were 10 vines in each row, so according to Beis Shammai, all 10 vines in the first row make up the vineyard. They all become Osur Bahana'ah. And according to Beis Hillel, the first 2 rows, however many there are there, would become forbidden to benefit from them. Mishnah Vov. So we said in the previous Mishnah that according to Beis Hillel, vines only make up a vineyard if they are in at least 2 rows. As well as that, the minimum number of vines which need to be there is 5 vines. However, strictly speaking, according to Beis Hillel, each row is only considered a significant row if there are 3 vines in each row. It's quite logical, actually, because 2 vines which are next to each other don't yet really make up a row. They're just next to each other. It's only when there are 3 things next to each other that it's now considered a row, in a straight line. So each row, strictly speaking, requires 3 vines, which means that if Beis Hillel require you to have 2 rows in order to be a vineyard, then 2 rows of 3 vines makes 6 vines altogether. Not 5, However, there is a way for even just five vines to be considered a vineyard. Hanuteh shtayim keneged shtayim. From plants two opposite two, so you've got two rows of two vines, and then the achas yotzei zonov, one comes out of it as a tail. Which means, and you can see this on the diagram, that after the two rows, in the third row, instead of planting two there, in line with the other two, you plant one in the middle, sort of in line with the gap between the two and the other two rows, and you can see that on the diagram. And the reason why this is allowed is because the fifth vine here looks like a continuation of both of the rows. So it looks like both of the rows do have three vines in, and therefore Hai Zakerem, this is considered a vineyard, and of course the main application, the main implication of that, is that an area of 4 amos, a distance of 4 amos, needs to be left from there and another species. Okay, next formation, and you can use the second diagram for this Mishnah to help you. Shtayim keneged shtayim, if there are two which are opposite two, so again you've got two vines in two rows, altogether four vines, but in between the two rows, the achas bintayim, you've got one in between the two, meaning that one of the rows has another vine in between the two. So really one row has three vines, and another row has two vines. The one which has three vines, the third vine is not placed at the end, as part of the third row or something. Rather, it's part of the second row. It's just that one row would have enough space, or it would be spaced more, so there would only be two vines there, and the next row would be tighter together, so there were three vines in that space. Oh, and look at the third diagram for this. Shtayim keneged shtayim v'achas ba'emtza. If there are two opposite two, so again, you've got two rows of two vines each, v'achas ba'emtza, and one in the middle. So one vine which is bang in the middle of the four other vines, eino kerem, these two arrangements would not be considered a vineyard. This is not a regular way to plant a vineyard at all. And it's not really considered like there are three vines in each row. Unless you have two opposite two, and then one as a tail, meaning like in the first case, this is repeating the first case, where the fifth vine was viewed as a continuation of both rows, so only in that case would five vines alone make up an entire vineyard.